The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Honey, the online shopping platform that helps consumers save time and money, is building a Boulder office and looking for software engineers to join the team. Find out more at joinhoney.com/careers. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. We have a unique startup and tech community here on the edge of the Rockies, and we want you to know about it. The Boulder Tech Podcast features conversations with leaders, thinkers, and influencers, sharing their views on what's happening in Boulder's rapidly evolving tech scene. These interviews were recorded during the 9th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind, anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode number 4 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is Jake Hurwitz, former founder and CEO at iSight Collective and currently the VP of Branding at Boulder Bits. We touched on several topics, including how bad ideas make your startup stronger, the valuable role that college students can play in a startup's earliest stages, and what underlies the Boulder startup and tech community's uniqueness. What does Boulder Bits do?
Yeah, Boulder Bits is a startup studio. So we're basically a team of entrepreneurs who constantly come up with ideas for startups. We launch 3 companies a year, similar to an accelerator program where we are building companies. But the main difference is that instead of companies coming to us looking for help, we start all of our own internally, invest in those, build teams around these concepts, and push them off into the wild.
So you come up with the idea and then create the team and then create the company.
Exactly.
What are some of the most successful companies that have come out of, how long have you been doing it, first of all?
Company's been around for just over 2 years. I've been there for 8 months, 8 months last week. Right now we've got 2 projects that we're really excited about, amongst others, but the two that we're most excited about are Smart Capital and Invite Me. Smart Capital basically allows anybody to invest in venture capital funds. Anybody can have access now to early stage startup investing, which has previously been pretty hard to do. And then the other company, Invite Me, is a productivity app. So scheduling is a pain in the neck. So with Invite Me, we want to actually host an event, maybe the 3 of us want to get together for coffee next week, one of us can just send out an invite to the others, say, hey, 1 hour coffee next week. Everyone says yes. And then it analyzes all of our calendars and picks the time that works for everybody. There are a lot of similar products in this space right now, but what none of the products do is it requires zero back and forth. No one has to look at their calendar anymore to see when the right time would be.
So these teams are working out of your office, I take it?
So we have 2 floors at 1515 Walnut Street, which is actually right down the street from here. In the early stage, we build our teams out of that office. The Boulder Bits core team works there full time. And then for our companies, obviously they can work wherever they'd like. In the early stage, many of them do use our space, obviously, because it's free for them to use. We have great space. But as they build and grow, then they would need to move on elsewhere in order to fit their size.
And you do 3 companies per year?
That's the goal, 3 companies a year.
Where do you see it growing from there? Do you see it scaling up so you can manage more companies, or do you want to keep it tight like this?
So in essence, with a studio, the idea is to keep it as small as possible as far as the number of people working on these ideas. We have this new concept of linking up many studios around the globe. There are hundreds of them around the world, a couple hundred in the U.S., recognizing that studios don't compete with each other. I mean, there's an endless supply of ideas and business concepts, but being able to provide resources with one another, ask each other, hey, how did you go about designing this website or managing this legal structure for that concept or for that business idea? Studios are new and they're really, really lucrative. And there are a couple that have been around actually for a while, but the success of them has been more notably noticed more recently. Idealab is the biggest one that most people know about, and they have like a 75% success rate. That's insane. The current success rate of startups is like 1. So building a network and a strong community amongst studios is the goal that we do see happening long term.
What does a typical day look like for you?
No such thing as a typical day. For me, as the VP of branding, I'm in charge of all of the marketing, design, strategy, and execution from a creative standpoint for all the companies that we're starting in the earliest stage. So on a normal day, I'm focusing on 3 companies, usually 2 of our portfolio companies and Boulder Bits itself. I'll jump from traction meetings to web designing for 3 hours to working on a logo to strategy with my team of creatives about, all right, we have a new vlog that we're doing. What's the strategy behind that? Or we're launching this new concept or product to the public in beta next week. Like, what's our launch strategy behind that? So it's a really, really good mix of actual like design and pushing pixels around on Illustrator all day or writing code. And then also creative direction. So strategy, you know, launch plans, social media strategy, all that stuff. It's great.
And you've been with the company for 8 months. What were you doing before that?
So I was building my own startup for about 3 years before that. It was called EyeSight Collective. The company originally started as a student-led creative agency for local startups. So in short, it was a network of really talented college students that were great at designing websites, logos, videos, photography, all that. And working with local startups who didn't have a lot of money but wanted a quick website built that was good. They needed someone to come take photos at their event one night or work on a little video for their homepage. And so that concept lasted about a year and a half. Totally scaled and grew. It still exists right now at the University of Colorado. It's called EyeSight still. And then in the last year and a half of that journey for me, we tried to shift it into a career development platform for creatives. So mostly creative college students and recent graduates who wanted to learn business skills so that they could actually take their talents in design or photo, video, and turn it into their career. College wasn't teaching that very well. Parents weren't teaching it. Managers weren't teaching it. And so we built and scaled online courses and webinars and events and all types of online content. And we actually ended that journey back in August.
You're a new company. You don't have a big budget, but like you said, you need a cool logo. You need to have a working website. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a company in that position? You're just starting out and I need this stuff. Where do I go to get it?
Yeah. At the time, and I still believe it, it's go to college students. $500 for them is a big deal because they're in college. $500 to a company is a huge savings. You have a couple of options when you want a new website, when you're launching a company. You could do it yourself using Squarespace, WordPress, Wix, or something like that. If you don't have a background in design, marketing, copywriting, most likely it's not going to be good. And it's not up to the founder of that company, the person who worked on it, to make that decision. It's up to the market. Typically, it's not a good website or a logo because there's no background in design from the person who worked on it. And so therefore, there's no trust. So you've got a couple other options there. You could go to an agency. Agencies are all across the board as far as price. Typically, it'll be a little bit more expensive if it's a good size agency where you've got people working full time. You can go to a freelancer. That's another really good option. Freelancers, though, again, it's going to be more costly. Anything out of house is just going to be a different type of engagement. So that the other option then is to hire somebody in-house. You could have a creative person on your team that you could hire. You could hire an intern, potentially. There are complications that sometimes arise from those relationships, but that's another option. You could also then go to something like EyeSight, which is an agency of college students that is well-managed, making sure that the professionalism is still there, but the product that you're getting is also high quality. You could do any number of online resources like Fiverr or Upwork where you can find freelancers all across the world that will be willing to work on stuff for you. So bottom line is you have a lot of options. My recommendation is explore all of them before making a decision based on the actual need that you have as a business, as a founder, what your skills are and where you want to go. The biggest principle is if you know your background is not in design, drop the ego there and just give it to somebody who does have that background, because design is often overlooked. People are starting to recognize now how important it truly is, which is great. It's great for my industry because I'm a designer, right? But it has been overlooked for a long time as something that's just art. It is what it is. People don't care. It's actually crucial.
And I think the bottom line here is that it's crucial and it's not out of reach. You don't have to have the huge budget to get the good design going.
Right.
It's really fairly affordable to get something that looks like it cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jumping around a bit, back to Boulder Bits. So where do you come up with the ideas for the different companies that you're adding to your portfolio?
Yeah, it is a very bizarre, lackluster process. The first place is we have a Slack channel called Bad Ideas. So all hours of the day, every single person in our community, in our organization, is encouraged to just share bad ideas. We actually prefer these ideas to be quote unquote bad to start, because things that we can kill immediately, that we can discount as this is not a good concept worth going into, is a success for us. That's a huge win because it saves a lot of time, a lot of money. If we can pop the balloon, do it. Pop that balloon as fast as you can. So basically, to answer your question in short, it's just all of us paying attention, asking a lot of questions. I mean, this weekend alone, there were like 4 entries into our bad ideas page. One of our team members was at the airport at DAA, just like watching humans as they interact with each other and thinking about what could be better in that process. And then the rest of us get excited and want to chime in and share products that we know could fit. And it's a very interesting scenario where, for the first time in my life, I'm in a place, I've never seen this anywhere else, where one of us will come up with an idea. And we're like, we get so excited about it. And then somebody will share a link to a product that already exists that is exactly that. And everyone's like, yes, great. We can kill this idea. Versus, damn, like competition, we can't do this. Typically, you'd get kind of bummed about that, right? Mm-hmm. We celebrate that, which is special. It's very unique. And it allows us to actually really dive into either that product that exists. Maybe it's not the best process or product for this solution and we could do it better. Or it gives us a very clear direction as to where we should go outside of what already exists.
What are some of the companies that have come out of Boulder Bits that are just blowing up right now? Our
biggest one is actually in San Francisco. It's called Zizmos, Z-I-Z-M-O-S. It's a really, really unique business, but basically you have this hardware software solution that's early detection for earthquakes. They're growing like crazy right now. Revenue's totally taking off, but it's this device that you'd put on every floor of every building. We're in an earthquake-prone city. What that does is detects earthquakes and they all speak to each other and then alert the public through a mobile app that an earthquake's going to happen in 20 seconds, 30 seconds, which gives humans the ability to prepare for that, take their kids and get into a doorway versus freak out when it just starts to happen and human instincts kicks in, you don't really know what to do. So it literally saves lives. It's been a really interesting process watching that company grow and maneuver the landscape of funding, whether it's through private investors or through government entities, raising grant money. It's been really, really cool.
And is most of your funding for these companies, is it privately raised, or where does the revenue model?
Yeah, right now, early on, like? we have our own Boulder Bits fund. That's all private. And then as we continue to grow and scale, we do intend to raise outside. We're still figuring out exactly what we want our capital raising structure to be. Based off of some of the companies that we're actually putting out into the world and also the success of those. We do want to prove to the world that we are damn good at starting companies first before we go raise money out externally.
How long have you been involved in the Front Range tech scene?
I've been here for 5 years. My first year was, I was in college, and I kind of was just figuring out what I wanted to do. So 4 years, seriously been involved in the Boulder tech scene, yeah.
And what are your impressions of what's happening here?
Oh, it's a beautiful place. I mean, I came here from New York, so I got to see that side of the country before I came. Never been out to the San Francisco scene. Spent a little bit of time with the Chicago scene as well. The Boulder Denver scene is unlike anything I've ever experienced anywhere else. I think that's really special. It is changing constantly on a daily basis, which is interesting right now. So I think if you were to take off for 6 months and go travel somewhere and then come back, you'd come back to a completely different landscape, especially in Denver right now. It's just totally blowing up. There's a mentality of give first. I don't think I need to dive too far into that because we all know about it and it's talked about all the time, which is just amazing. When I was in college, I could reach out to anybody in this town and ask for coffee and say, hey, I'm a college student. I am an entrepreneur. I'm starting a company. Would love to seek your advice. And these are people that are very well known, extremely wealthy, successful humans that were like, absolutely, come by my office. I've got time, next month or next week. Happy to give you a half an hour. And that's what really set me up for success was just the kindness and the compassion that I was given in this community. I didn't see that in New York as much. I mean, it certainly exists in the tech scene anywhere where people recognize they need to kind of give and help and network in that sense. But I've never seen it to this capacity anywhere else.
And what do you attribute that to?
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's a bigger understanding of life in general and work-life balance and congruence. And the way people lead their lives in Boulder and Denver is unique to anywhere else in the world, I want to say. And that translates down to their day-to-day. A lot of empathy here. There's a lot of just celebration of life and exploring and adventure and nature and how it all ties together comes out in how people treat one another. And when they recognize that somebody needs help and we can help them, let's do that versus I need help, who's going to help me? And it's a beautiful situation to be a part of.
I think that's really interesting. It's great to hear that because Boulder's changed a lot over the years and has sort of lost its hippie, granola, communal stereotype and given way to this more tech kind of thing. And I wonder if that hippie communal thing has become this idea of empathy and generosity and give first in the tech community?
It's part of it. Seeing this hippie granola, as you put it, patchouli, lifestyle in the tech scene is super cool. I mean, I have probably 2 or 3 meetings a week on a hike, on a bike ride. I mean, Saturday morning I had a meeting in Denver where we walked around a little jazz and food festival and talked about business. That's really cool. That's, you know, great for the heart and soul. It's great for loving what you do and remaining max productivity because of that when you live here. I mean, sitting in a corner office all day, staring at the flat irons, but writing code all day gets kind of hard. So I could take my computer and go up Flagstaff and write code up there and get it done a lot faster because I'm at peace. It's a lot more blissful. And that's, I think, a really interesting situation to be in, especially because people, they love that and they support that here. If I was in New York and I asked, hey, boss, can I go to Central Park and work on my laptop for a few hours? I'd be like, hell no.
Right.
Yeah.
And here, no one cares that you've gone for a hike at 2 in the afternoon because I also want to reserve the right to go on a hike myself at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say they don't care. It's they encourage it. It's, you know what? Hey, like, I recognize that if I allow you as your boss to go on a hike this afternoon, you're gonna feel damn good after that hike and you're gonna get some great work done. I also see it as from a leadership standpoint, people are very entrepreneurial here. And that's great. Naturally, you have to let entrepreneurs run wild and be autonomous. Giving them a lot of structure and shackled down to their own environment or to the organization's environment hurts their productivity. And then when it comes down to, would you take a bullet for this leader? And they've been making you sit at a desk all day getting stuff done, and you're an entrepreneur who needs to run free, you probably wouldn't take a bullet for them. And, you know, conversely, somebody that gives you the freedom to do your work and get your job done how you see fit best, and clearly there's a trust factor there, yeah, you'd probably take a bullet for that leader. That's really powerful.
What do you see in this ideal environment of the entrepreneur scene being able to run free? Do you see any challenges to that here on the Front Range or in Boulder?
I can only speak in my own personal sense, right? In this case, I personally struggle with working alone, working at home all day. Even co-working spaces I struggle with a little bit because people are very heads down with their headphones on and they're not interacting as much as you would expect. So there's that social component to having that freedom of being an entrepreneur, two-person team, one-person team if you're a solopreneur. There's a lot of positives there. Like, you can make your own schedule. You can go for that hike at 2 p.m. No one's telling you where to be or when to be there or what to do or how to do it. Those are all the positives. But at least in my world, I mean, I really struggle with not being a part of a team. I struggle with not having people to just, hey, how was your weekend? Let's talk about that. Do you want to go on this hike with me and we can talk about work at 2 p.m.? And not having that situation, I think, is a challenge. I worked at Spark for a while when that was around. I worked at Galvanize for a little while before I joined Boulder Bits. I really struggled with just all day kind of sitting down alone, and maybe I had one or two other people on my team, but we were always just heads down, cranking, not looking at anything else, and that there wasn't enough balance there to kind of even out all of the different playing fields that we were on, which hurt our productivity.
What would be a piece of advice that you would offer to someone looking to get established or break in, just introduce themselves to the Boulder startup scene and community?
Say hello. Hi, what's your name? Who are you? And ask how you can help. So I see that you're a designer. That's really cool. What are you struggling with right now? How can I help you? I see you're an engineer. What are you struggling with right now? How can I help you? And following up on that, I think a lot of times these connections are made and then they're not fostered. But look, you've got 1.5 million coffee shops in this town and everyone's thinking about Boulder Startup Week right now, but no one's really talking about next week. Next week is way more fun because now you get to have coffee with all the people that you met during Boulder Startup Week and go out for a beer and reflect on this great week and talk about where you're going from here. And there's always this energy in the air of looking into the past, looking into the present and pondering the future during Boulder Startup Week. As far as like, we've come this far in human existence, we've come this far in Boulder, where are we going to go from here? And continue to sort of look our community in the eyes and say, like, we can continue to improve and do better. And now next week we get to actually put that into practice, and that's really fun. So go have those coffee meetings, go have those beers next week with the people that you meet would be my advice.
Anything else you'd like to add about anything relating to anything?
My sister texted me late last night. She just asked, what's your favorite quote? Go. And I always say the same quote. It's, you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And so anytime someone asks me, what's your last piece of advice or your last closing thoughts? I like to bring that up. You're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So really think hard and long about who you're surrounding yourself with, how you're spending time with the people that you're surrounding yourself with, and how the person that you want to be and how all of that affects each other. And in the case of Boulder Startup Week, this is a great opportunity to audit that and to augment it accordingly.
Interesting. Jake, thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Jake Hurwitz, VP of Branding at Boulder Bits. Find out more at boulderbits.com. Episode number 4 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week data science track sponsor, Carbon Black. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Matter, Zayo, Google, and Boulder Engineering Studio. We're also presented by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio, and to KGNU Community Radio for the recording gear. Our intro music is by Echodeck, that's E-C-C-O-D-E-K. Hear more at echodeck.com. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, and comments are welcome. Reach me at joel@thevibrarian.co. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.